This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu. It's the Friday, 30th of December, and in the studio with me is
Arvind Yuvaraj, and it's the last Biz Bites of the year on the second last day of 2016. So we're going to keep it casual today. We've got a story on Oculus acquiring eye-tracking technology as they move forward into the new year. That's coming up a little later. But first, a couple of stories on Apple.
Yeah, and the new year timing is perfect too this time. It's perfectly falling on the weekend, giving us an extra public holiday. Anyways, Apple Watch is rolling out a new challenge for the new year. You know how everyone is making like big resolutions, then by, you know, 2nd of January it's back to normal. So Apple wants to help people stick to those resolutions throughout the whole of 2017, because now we've got, you know, social media for every life choice and are literally wearing our fitness levels on our wrists, right? So really there's no reason not to keep up, and Apple wants to give us that motivation that we need.
Yeah, so back in November, Apple offered another holiday theme fitness challenge, turkey trot style, that was tied to Thanksgiving, which is basically a small stakes challenge aimed at getting wearers to move a modest 5K during the day. And then Apple Watch users can send the motivation notifications to others so that everyone can see your achievements. And the user gets some bragging rights as well, with stickers all over social media when they've unlocked the goal through running, walking, or even wheelchair activity.
Yeah, anyhow, naturally, the company will be doing something similar tied to the new year. Basically, if you're an Apple Watch owner, you might have noticed that a notification for the activity challenge has popped up on your watch over the last couple of days. Apple calls it the Ring in the New Year Challenge, and it's not only a badge that, you know, gives you, it doesn't only give you a badge when you complete, but you also receive like special stickers that you can use for iMessage. So they're rewarding you for keeping up with your activity goals.
Yeah, so the challenge goes something like this. If you manage to fill the activity rings in the activity app every day for a week in January, which is of course counted as Monday to Sunday, you will receive a badge informing you of the achievement at the end of the week. So it's a bit of a delayed gratification kind of thing, but at least it'll keep you going until the end of the year. You'll also get a bunch of new stickers, not just one, that will automatically appear in your iMessage sticker list. Basically, it's designed in such a way to get users to close all three of the watch's rings for a full week during the month.
Now, I think it's a pretty cool idea, because sometimes you need that extra boost to keep up with your goals, and this is something that is super simple, but it's also maybe a bit fun on Apple's part. And, you know, they know that people love rewards, so that's a pretty good idea. Now, back to moving on to another story. The new year also means a lot of things for a lot of new, people, but it's especially huge for the tech world, because in about a week we will be packed with new stories and ideas coming up from CES 2017, the Consumer Electronics Show. So roughly a week from now, we're going to be drowning in connected home products launches from Google, Apple, Amazon, revealing what they have planned for the year. But Slovenia is playing smart and getting ahead of the fray by announcing its own big product a full week ahead of the big Las Vegas event.
Yeah, so Slovenia has been a long-time developer of electrical lighting solutions, but they have a different approach to the HomeKit connected devices. There's now a Philips Hue competitor that features its own Wi-Fi, built-in Wi-Fi radio. So what this means is that, unlike most of the competition, the smart multicolor A19, which is what Slovenia's new bulb is called, immediately taps into the home network without the need for a hub.
Yeah, so basically you just screw the bulb in and then it syncs to the Apple's home app, and the thing is basically good to go. It's a very clever way to bypass the hub completely, which probably means that you can now think of connecting devices that aren't even part of the same electrical ecosystem. And home compatibility also means that it can be incorporated into different scenes, as they call it. And Siri can be used to perform a different bunch of voice commands with the bulb, including of course turning it off and on, and also dimming it and changing colors.
Mm-hmm. The A19 bulb will be available on Amazon early next year. Of course, that's for the US, and we don't know if it will ship to other parts of the world yet. And there's no clue yet on pricing, but the current Amazon, the Alexa compliant version, is priced at about $40, so it will probably be in that same price range.
Yeah, we'll take a short break and we'll be right back in just a moment. This is Rooney with I'm Shaking, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
You're still with us on Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff, together with Arvin in the studio. And we'll get to that story about Oculus in just a moment. I assure you, it is very, very, very cool. But first, let's talk about Twitter's big announcement.
Okay, so we learned a few months ago that Twitter was shutting down Vine and that it was giving up on the micro video platform. But that doesn't mean that they've given up on video altogether. They still run Periscope, and through Periscope, they've just introduced a 360-degree video live stream.
Yeah, so right now, anyone on Twitter and Periscope can watch a 360 degrees live video, but only select partners can go live in 360 via Periscope. So basically, Twitter is just sort of like testing out this feature by allowing a few partners and influencers to get used to it and get the word out there. And it makes sense because, you know, live video became so popular on platforms like Facebook, and Twitter had to up their game and to do something big with their own video sharing tools.
Yeah, so this hasn't been a good year for Twitter, actually. Mm-hmm. Like we said, Vine shut down, and then Twitter itself was in the middle of a potential major acquisition before those talks fell apart. And since then, Twitter has been trying to figure out new ways to grow, and slowly they added new products and features to its lineup in the hopes of hitting that sweet spot with the social media crowd like they did before with Vine.
Yeah, so right now, from what we can see, live streamers will plug a camera into the bottom of the phone before they can start recording and broadcasting the video. And with the live 360 video, users basically get to full capture of what's going on from the broadcaster's point of view and also the surroundings.
Yeah, because I love the 360 videos on Facebook, especially if you're on the phone and you have to turn with the phone, you know, to look around the broadcaster's location. And it makes sense that Twitter is only allowing partners to use this because they want to have those big videos go viral, like someone skydiving or traveling to an exotic location or even standing near a volcano, you know, like instead of 360 videos inside your car or, you know, at someone's office or house.
Yeah, I feel it's like a missed opportunity though with the New Year's happening this weekend. They could have gotten some amazing fireworks videos if they open it up to, you know, more people. Obviously, there will be a ton of, you know, boring videos flooding the platform as well if they do that. But a lot of people could have broadcasted some very nice live 360 New Year's fireworks videos from all over the world in just a couple of days.
Yeah, and here's something interesting to note. The company post was actually authored by Alessandro Sabatelli, who is the company's director of augmented reality and virtual reality. So I don't know if that means anything, but feel free to speculate if Twitter is starting to explore opportunities in that field. And I think they'll need to, because they're not as big as Facebook, but they're still pretty big. And I think if they really get into it, they could do something pretty cool with AR and VR next year.
All right, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll sign off the last episode of 2016 with a story on virtual reality pioneers Oculus Rift buying an eye tracking technology company. This is the Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Building fashion movements. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to the Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff, together with Arvin. And VR is definitely going leaps and bounds in 2016. And Oculus, the most popular of all VR products that's owned by Facebook, has recently confirmed that they have just completed the acquisition of the Eye Tribe.
Yeah, so just what is the Eye Tribe? Well, they are a startup that has developed $99 eye tracking device developer kits for computers and software that can bring gaze-based interfaces to smartphones and potentially virtual reality headsets. So now, what is gaze-based interfaces? Well, basically, the direction you look could one day actually control your VR or mobile experience. So the next time you want to open an app, just look at it and it's done.
Yeah, we were just talking about on Wednesday about how a company called Neurabel wants to control augmented and virtual reality by using just your thoughts and your brain. And now these guys, you know, they want to control VR and mobile just by looking at it.
Yeah, but the eye tracking tech isn't that new, because if you have any of the Samsung Galaxy, the S series phones after S3, I think,
yep,
you know that the phone's camera tracks your eye and then it either stays on or it dims the screen or it turns off the display. So that's pretty basic. And this tech by the Eye Tribe is aiming to trigger complex functions just by tracking your eyes. Anyway, they were developed after a lot of research that was done by the founders at the IT IT University of Copenhagen back in 2009. And the company says that the ITU gaze tracker they helped create has become the most popular open source eye tracking software so far. By 2013, they built its technology into an Android tablet. And this year, they unveiled the $199 Pro version of its tracking device that it says can be made as much as 10 times cheaper and comparable than comparable models.
Yeah. So the iTribe has also developed a four-weighted rendering technology, and I'm guessing you probably is like, what is that? Mm-hmm. Well, a four-weighted imaging is a digital image processing technique which the image resolution or the amount of detail varies across the image according to one or more fixation points. A fixation point indicates the highest resolution of the region of the image corresponds to the center of the eye's retina, the fovea. So it's basically a more efficient way and virtually an unnoticeable way of rendering. And this technology lets VR systems save computational power by only generating perfect graphics where you're looking at it. So everywhere around you is just blurry. But when you look at it, it's bang, it's perfectly clear again. So essentially, it creates like a focal point that moves with your eyes. And that could allow the Oculus forthcoming Santa Cruz, the wireless standalone headset, to display more complex scenes at a higher frame rate despite its mobile form factor limiting its rendering power.
Yeah, so a whole class of headsets are starting to use the eye tracking for this rendering technique, as well as letting you teleport around a location or show the movement of your eyes on an avatar to make it more, you know, like more lifelike.
Yeah, so other examples include auto-scrolling of text while reading or, you know, sheet music while playing an instrument. It's just so totally sci-fi. Imagine, you know, you're playing a guitar and your page is just scrolled automatically as you play along with it, right? It's totally insane. And also the ability to pause or control a video player with just your eyes while, you know, your hands are probably holding your coffee, eating your curry pup and all that kind of stuff. Car interfaces could also benefit from this technology as it could provide gaze analytics to inform app developers and advertisers of what people are looking at the most.
Mm-hmm. The iTribe has raised about $3 million so far from investors, including Startup Bootcamp, and have taken about about $2.3 million, a grant from the Danish National Advanced Technology Foundation. They also competed in TechCruncher's CES hardware battlefield in early 2014 when it first began shipping its developers kit. And then lately, they've been working to get more developers on its SDK or software development kit by building applications that can benefit from eye tracking. And just this is just a little side note. Google recently bought an eye tracking startup called iFluence.
Yeah, so earlier this month, the iTribe put up a notice saying that it was changing directions, and many were speculating that they have been acquired by Facebook, which is now confirmed to be true. Through Oculus, it's owned by Facebook. They have confirmed the deal, but they didn't actually share details, the pricing of it, exactly who from the iTribe will be joining Oculus, or, you know, what will happen to iTribe's existing users. So it's really just been a year of acquisitions.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So it's still unclear what Oculus will do with this technology, but it has potential applications for identity verification, for security, for immersive games, and a wide range of applications that let you navigate by looking instead of using your fingers. So perhaps one day Facebook could allow you to, like, maybe post something just by looking at the at the like button, or roll your eyes in Oculus VR when someone makes a stupid pun. Let's see how this plays out over the next year.
And you know, people always complain about technology is making us lazy and stuff like that. If we could control things just by looking at it,
wouldn't stand up to go anywhere.
Exactly. Now, that's all the time we have for today's show. But coming up at 12:30 p.m. is the Breakfast Grill replay. As 2016 comes to a close, the Morning Run presents a recap of some of the best interviews of this year. And as they take our policy makers and cabinet ministers this time around to answer some of the most pressing issues this year, including the fiscal policy and also security. That's happening at 12:30 p.m. followed by a very special Geek Squawks episode with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage and myself, as we will be looking back at the year in five categories, including the silliest and weirdest innovation of 2016. Trust me, you don't want to miss that out. That's happening at 1 p.m. This has been The Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Arvind Yuvaraj. Happy New Year, everyone. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. the Business Station.